is the message. I just feel very much of the Lord. It's a prophetic word for the body. And I think as you listen and as I share some of the things, I believe some of these truths are just going to kind of go off in your spirit, and God's going to continue to give you even more revelation about it after the message. And, you know, I felt like that I wanted to kind of deliver a message, kind of a state of the union kind of message for the body, and speak prophetically into the time and season we're in right now. And so the name of the title of the message is called New Season and New Wineskin. You know, if God is going to do something new in you, then he has to make, he makes all things new. He makes you a new wineskin to hold the new thing that he's doing. So I'm going to share about that. I'd like to start off, though, and give you a little bit of background and history of some of the things that have been happening prophetically in this house. And for some of you, you're new to this house, so some of these prophecies and words you haven't heard, but I'm going to kind of get you up to speed and share where I think we're going from here. So first of all, if you look in Isaiah 2, verses 2 through 3, in the New Living Translation, I love this. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be the highest of all. I think that's called the summit. The most important place on earth. Amen. It will be raised above the other hills, and the people from all over the world will stream there to worship. Come on. People from many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob's God. There he will teach us his ways and will walk in his paths. You know, that's a promise. And, you know, ever since God poured his spirit out initially, he said that we're in the last days. So anyway, we're in those days. But I believe that God is just doing a special thing in this time, in this hour, in this house. And I remember actually 3 years ago, I preached a message. And as I was preaching, I knew it was prophetic at the time. I could just sense it in my spirit. And I kept talking about, I talked about the difference between the secular and the sacred. And that I had, if you remember the illustration, I had a piece of glass, and I took a hammer and just smashed it. And glass went flying. It was crazy. But, you know, what I said is God is shattering that dividing line between it. And that God was going to bring both a renaissance, a revival, and a reformation to the church. And I said, get ready, because you're going to start hearing those terms a lot. And it's so amazing. Then I'm going to fast forward a little bit. In 2014, we desired to carpet our sanctuary because it needed it. And so we were updating it. And as we were just choosing things, you know, we were looking at tons of patterns. It took a long time to figure that out. But anyway, we came across one that was out of the Renaissance series. That was the name of it. And then the actual pattern was called Florentine Revival. And just the name alone sold us on it. We said, you know what? We're going to carpet the sanctuary with revival. In other words, when people walk in, they're going to walk on revival when they come in the doors, right? We're just going to make room for the presence of the Lord here. I know that this has been a cry of the heart throughout all the ministry. I know the Crux has been consistently raising up a group of radical revivalists. Can I hear amen? The youth are doing the same. You know, they're just being raised in the things of the Lord. The children's ministry as well. They're not left behind. And then, you know what? Also, the whole church family. Pastor Daniel went on a teaching series about the revival culture. Actually spent an entire year just going over this. We got bookmarks each month about it. Just teaching and training and imparting the cultures of the kingdom. And I know even in our Bible college, we do, you know, the Bethel series and this and that. And then, you know, as to come up to speed, even recently, the CD project. Now, again, it's about a year and a half since it was written, or, you know, that time since it was recorded, I should say. But when they got together and did a planning meeting for this, they said, when we write this, we want every song that we sing to just bring about revival. So even before a word was penned, it was in their heart that that's what they wanted to express through their music. And you know what? They finally produced it. It's coming out. We're so excited that it's going to, the event is August 28th, 7 o'clock. You want to be here for it. It's amazing. But in the process of that, we have had such an amazing season in the Lord. And I can tell you, there's been many, many prophet and prophetic people that have come into this house. You know, Jeremy and Miranda, Sean Smith, Teresa Deadman, James Gall, and different ones, and they've had prophetic words over the house. And it's good as a house, as a family, when you get a prophetic word, you steward the word. And you say, God, what are you saying? What are you speaking over this house at this time? One of the more current words they spoke, and James Gall said, the summit is an apostolic resource center. And the initial will be ARC. You know, an apostle, one who sent, a resourcing and mission training center. Jeff Jansen also came, and a couple weeks back, powerful, powerful impartation of the Spirit of the Lord in this place. And you know what? We're not apologizing for it. It's amazing. And he spoke ARC over this as well, and he said it's an apostolic revival center. That's what he said this summit is. It's a place of revival. And he also called it an ARC from the standpoint of it's an arts and renaissance center. And I believe we see that in the, there's this exploding here with the arts, with the dance, with the worship, even with the artist painting on the stage. Beautiful. God is just doing a new thing and blessing us so much in this house. He is building us, Summit Church, into that ark. And you know, I want to speak a little bit, even metaphorically here for a second. If you look back to the Old Testament, the ark was a place of God's presence. Several times it was noted. The first mention of the ark was Noah's ark, of course. But there was something special about Noah's ark when God released the dove even representing the Holy Spirit, it could not find a place to rest and land its feet. So it came back to the ark and it rested there on the ark. That's just a picture of resting, the presence of God resting. And then later in the book of Numbers, you have, and in the book of Exodus, you have the Ark of the Covenant or the Ark of the Testimony. And this was a special place that they built to just represent and just host the presence of God, literally. And they carried it in the tabernacle, and his presence was just over the mercy seat. So everywhere the ark was, in the Old Testament at least, that's where the presence of the Lord was. But we know now in the New Testament, God does not reside in just one place. Because when he poured out his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, as it came down as a dove upon Jesus, and then later in the upper room upon all the disciples, he poured his Spirit out so that we all can become an ark. We can all become a resting place for the presence of God. Is that right? Amen. When we welcome his presence, we become the ark of the testimony. We become his resting place where his Spirit rests upon. You know, during this time and season, I believe that Summit has been given a special charge. And I love this verse out of 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 through 2. It talks about stewarding the mysteries of God. You know, a steward is one who takes care of something on behalf of someone else. And God says that we are stewards of the mystery of God. It says, let a man so consider as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. So the most important characteristic I would have to say of a steward is that they're faithful. They're faithful with the charge that they've been given. Right? To steward what God has given them. And so in this time, in this season, I believe God has just called us to steward something very, very special. And I'll go into that in just a moment. You know, when I was thinking about this message this morning, I felt like the Lord really wanted me to talk about creating a new wineskin for a new season. In January, I distinctly remember we were in the midst of like a 21-day fast. And I remember I heard the Lord say, I'm changing the season, I'm changing the season. It's going to go from winter to spring, winter to spring. I mean, we were in winter, it was January, but I'm telling you, it was spring. Because God, like almost like overnight, bam, just a new season of his outpouring of his Holy Spirit. And you know, what transpired actually, and some of you may be familiar, you may not be familiar, but in January, the 25th, after, actually, we did a 21-day fast as a church body. The next day, the 26th, there became extended meeting of what's called the Fire and Glory. Actually, it started as a decree conference. But then what happened was there was just such an unusual sense of God's presence. It was a pouring out of His Spirit, of both the firestorm of God, and also the glory of God. And let me tell you, there was many notable miracles that happened in those meetings. They started in San Diego with Jeremy and Miranda Nelson and Joshua Mills. But what happened is people with birth defects were healed, people with heart conditions, collapsed lungs were healed, people that were born disabled in their feet, God healed it. Cancer, stage 4 cancer was healed. So notable, notable miracles as God was pouring out His Spirit. And what they felt during that time is, you know, we're not going to end this. God is pouring out His Spirit. We're not going to stop the move that God is doing. And let me tell you, this came after many, many prophetic words have been given over the West Coast, over Southern California, and actually over San Diego specifically. Because there was something called the West Coast Rumble that was prophesied, that they said God is going to pour out His Spirit in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and it's going to begin on the West Coast, and it's going to begin in San Diego. The fire will fall first in San Diego. So when they took that prophetic word, they have been stewarding that. And let me tell you, those meetings have continued nightly for the last 175 nights. Wow. That's amazing. They go 5 nights a week. And as a Summit, we have been a part of those meetings. Our worship team leads worship 3 nights. We've partnered with three other churches to just help host the Holy Spirit. And it has been truly amazing. And you know, the meetings have been in Heart of God, Rancho Bernardo. And it's just been so, so powerful. And literally the first night of the extended meetings, Jeremy saw a vision. I actually saw the same thing, which is amazing. A whirlwind of a firestorm came into the building, and on it came Jesus came, and Jesus was in His royal robe. He was a king. It was King Jesus, and He took his garment off and just flung it, and there was just the tangible presence of God there. And I remember I could see Christ as well come into the meeting, Jesus Christ. It was just amazing. So God was just doing something so, so special. And, you know, we have been a part of it, and it's been a pleasure and honor to be a part of it. God has just done unusual signs and wonders during those meetings. Many times people in the meetings will have glory on their hands. Like they look down at their hands are just like sparkling. Or oil will start to come out of their hands. Why does God do this? I don't know. It's just an unusual sign of wonder, but it makes you wonder, right? It's amazing. I don't know why He does it, but I enjoy the fact that God is showing up, really. It's wonderful. You know, it's kind of funny and it's kind of ironic. If you recall, even 1 year before, 2015, we had in the natural the firestorms last May, 2015. And it seemed like all of San Diego County was on fire somewhere, right? It was crazy. And actually, as I recall, the fire started first in Rancho Bernardo is actually where, which is interesting that later when God poured out His Spirit and His glory and His fire, He poured it out in Rancho Bernardo as well. So that was amazing. But one other place that was a huge hot spot was San Marcos. How many of you remember that? Many of you had to evacuate. Man, we ran the risk. We didn't know if we were going to have church or not. And Daniel and I stayed in our home at that point, got our fire hose out. And I mean, we went to bed one night. We see the fire burning down the hill. But you know, we just went to bed. You know, whatever. God's going to protect us. He switched the wind and turned it the other direction. So we were fine. But anyway, I think sometimes God does something, and I'm not saying God lit those fires. Some of them were started by arsonists. It was wrong. It was the devil, you know? But and some of it was natural causes. But point being this is if San Diego was up in fire, and I believe at this time and season, San Diego is going to be up in fire of another sort, the fire and the glory of God. Because when God comes, He is a consuming fire, and He destroys all His enemies. When He's pouring out His Spirit, He appears like that. And you know what? That fire is like a refiner's fire in us. You know what? It's not meant to destroy you. It's meant to refine you and bring out the gold and the best in you. You know, at this, when Jeff Jansen was here several weeks ago as well, he came and he said he woke up in the morning and he literally saw the firestorm of God come into our building. And I thought, that is a good thing, you know? The firestorm of God is a wonderful thing. It's his presence. Yeah. And when he came, he just sensed that. He declared that. He spoke that. And then in the evening service, he just blew a silver trumpet. Now, the silver trumpet represents what happened in the book of Numbers when the Ark of the Covenant, which was the presence of God, was moved from one place to the next. They would blow a trumpet before the camp assembled and moved to a new location. So when Jeff blew that trumpet, I felt it was like symbolically God was saying, you know what, we always enjoy the presence of God, but God was going to do something, a new thing here at Summit, right? And so that is amazing. Well, one of the new things that God is doing is in this time of outpouring, we've just been blessed. I'm telling you, just blessed. So many prophetic words, his presence, miracles. And just, I think, faith just skyrocketing because of his presence and his glory. We've seen so many wonderful things. It's so wonderful when you can be saved decades, but still you're just in awe and wonder of God. That never gets old. It's like, God, you're more exciting to me today than you were even in the past because I'm seeing more of you. I see more of your wonders, and I'm on fire for what you're doing. You know, and you know, recently, the Charisma magazine actually wrote a big article. It said, Revival in the United States. And one of the hot spots that was highlighted was the San Diego Fire and Glory Outpouring. That was one of the first ones. Also, what's going on in West Virginia and other places. And I'm not saying exclusively only, but I'm saying what's happening is more significant than you realize, right? You know, God is up to something amazing. So, anyway... different prophets have been prophesying over this house. And one of the things that they've been saying and calling forth in this house, they said, I see a student movement. I see a reformation. I see revival. And just speaking forth all those things. And it's just amazing. Sean Smith talked about a convergence in time. Where a convergence when all things come together. I loved how Jeff said it. All the tumblers in the lock line up. And you're just in a season of convergence, a season of blessing, a season of favor. And let me tell you, that's the season we are at Summit right now. Can we thank the Lord for that? And you might be saying, you know, I don't feel it yet. You're going to. You're going to. It's coming. It's coming. It's here. But, you know, you're going to experience it. You know, the funny thing, too, about the CD project, I just want to divert a little bit and talk about that. That was a year and a half in the making and stuff like that, and the musicians and all the singers were so excited about it, and it seemed in their heart it was a little bit delayed from the time frame they wanted it to. They would have loved to have it out last year, but that did not happen. But you know what? The time of the Lord is perfect, because in this time, God is going to do something that we could not even imagine. You know what it says? What the Lord does is wonderful in our sight. Well, this is one of those situations. The fire and the glory outpouring is actually going to, in about 2 weeks, the nightly meetings are actually going to move to Summit. Yeah. Can we give the Lord a hand for that? So many of you have wanted to be a part of them, but you haven't driven down there. You can't drive at night or whatever. We're going to host the Holy Spirit in a very, very special way. And beyond that, this just blows my mind. Okay, so anyway, Charisma Magazine also said, you know what? We want to cover what God is doing in that outpouring. So what they said is they're going to, before Sean Bolts comes on the September 1st through the 4th weekend, they said, we want to film 5 days before, during the conference, and 5 days after. Do you know what day they happen to be here filming? The night of the CD release. Do you see that God is putting a microphone to the movement, giving us exposure nationally, internationally, that we could never get for ourselves? We couldn't pay for that type of advertising. But when the Lord is highlighting, when the Lord is shining his favor, God will blow your mind. And so God wants the sound out because God is doing a new thing in this time and this hour. Can we thank him for that? Wow. It says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but in the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. Well, it's come, it's here. And you get to be a part of some of the amazing things going on here. So in this time and this place that we find ourselves, at this amazing season, you need to ask yourself, God, how can I make myself ready? How can I get in and become a better steward of what you're doing? And you know what? Back to the scripture in Luke 5, 36 through 39. This is where I felt like the Lord was stirring me as far as the new wineskin. Because if you're going to have that new season, you need to shed the old and walk into the new. And the wine that he's pouring out is new wine. It means you've never tasted it before. You have never experienced it before. It's beyond your past experience. It's something brand new. Not something recycled. This is new. A new thing, a new work, and it's springing forth. In fact, there was a prophetic word earlier that talked about a new thing rising. And this is some of what God is doing. So let's look at this scripture. No one puts a piece of a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new one makes a tear. And the pieces that were taken out of the new does not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one, having drunk the old wine immediately, desires the new, for he says the old is better. You know, that is a great verse and word to us as a body. When God is doing a new thing, you need to prepare your heart to receive what he's doing. Because otherwise, if you don't, then you can become like that, like the crusty old wineskin that says, nah, the old is better. God, I don't like the new thing you're doing. I want the old. The old's better. That's a natural reaction when God pours out his spirit, that one move of God experiences the glory of God. Then the next move of God, the old move criticizes the new one. They say, that can't be God. But that's, you know, when God is doing a new thing, it's a new thing. It's not like the old. So it's something you haven't yet to experience. You know, the new wine of the Holy Spirit needs to be put into a new wineskin. Now, we're going to talk about the process of becoming a new wineskin because, you know, for most of us, we don't even know what that's talking about. Well, let me share a little bit what I mean by that. First of all, in Bible times, they would carry wine and they would carry it in leather animal bags. Like it would be maybe a goat or a pig or something like that, and they would put it in it. When the new wine was put in it, as it began to ferment, if the leather was properly conditioned, then it would expand with the expanse of the wine. But sometimes they would take those wineskins and just, you know, maybe throw them to the side of their house. It's been sitting out in the sun for a while. They would get all dried up and crusty and stuff like that. Then if they even tried to put wine into it, it would literally burst the bag, you know? And it made me think of, you know, growing up with the boys, sometimes my boys would have baseball mitts, you know, some leather mitts, and sometimes they wouldn't take care of them or whatever. They'd leave them out in the sun or in the garage or something. And over time, those mitts, those leather mitts became so crusty you could barely open because the leather wasn't properly conditioned, right? And it got, you know, dried out in the sun. Well, with the wineskins of the Spirit, you know, those could be representation even of our heart, right? And what God wants to do for us is he doesn't want to make, what he wants to do is take the wineskin of your heart and renew it. You don't have to have a brand new one. He just wants to renew you, right? And let me tell you something. The age of the wineskin makes no difference from the standpoint of you can be old but still have a new wineskin heart. It doesn't matter your age. It's not an age thing. Well, let me share the process here for a second. When you take an old wineskin and you want to make it a new one, here's what you do. You first take it, the dry, crusty one, you put it in water for a deep, deep cleaning. That comes first. And that's just like our heart. Our hearts have to be washed with the water of God's word. That's what God tells us to wash your heart in the water of God's word. And then after that, the wineskin was rubbed with anointing oil. The leather was conditioned so it could be flexible with the anointing oil. So they would take it and just put olive oil and just rub it all over the bag. And you know, that's what God wants to do in our hearts too. He wants to take our heart. Maybe our heart has become crusty, you know, with sin or with just disappointment or stuff. But God wants to wash our hearts. He says even, I will take out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. God wants to take any old wineskin of you. And sometimes it's just our old way of seeing things, our old beliefs, the old routines, the old way we did things, that we've become so regimented, you know, in the religion of God. We've forgotten the relationship with Christ, right? And God wants to take us to a time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. God's intention is to always take us from glory to glory to glory. He's always in the process of upgrading you. Does that sound good? I like that. So let's talk about some of the things it's going to take to become that new wineskin for God. First of all, our attitudes. Our attitudes make a huge difference. And the first attitude is being flexible. Oh my goodness, if you were on our past mission trip this year to Africa, flexibility was the key word takeaway from the trip. And I say that because every day was different. Every day we would have a plan. Every day the plan would change multiple times in the day. And it was just funny actually. But the point is, before the trip even started, I don't know, I must have known. I gave everybody a rubber band. I said, here's a rubber band, you need to snap it to always remind yourself to be flexible, because things are going to change. And believe me, things changed. But you know what? Our team was awesome, and they were flexible, and they went with it. And you know, God did amazing things because of that. Number two, be willing to change. You know, in the Old Testament, one of the complaints about the children of Israel is they were stiff-necked and stubborn. That means they were set in their ways, and they didn't want to change. May that never be said of us. May we always have a willing heart to change on a dime if God says it, right? In Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. You know, to walk with God requires you're constantly changing. Like he's the GPS and you're just listening to his guidance system, right? And you're walking and flowing with the Holy Spirit. And the new wine of the Holy Spirit demands that you have the ability to change. Number three, seek God's ways. God wants you to be hungry for the things of God. God wants you to seek after his ways. And Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways. You know, sometimes things of God don't always make sense to us. That's why they're called the mysteries of God. You don't have to understand everything God says or does to appreciate and marvel at his work. You know, most of you don't understand electricity, but you appreciate the benefits of it, right? Just don't put your finger in the socket. But let me tell you, you don't have to understand all the mysterious ways of God to acknowledge and appreciate what he does and when he's working wonders. If he was a God you could figure out, he would be way too small. I want a God much bigger and higher than my understanding. I want a God whose ways are higher than me. I want a God that does the miraculous and does things beyond my understanding. That's the type of God I want to serve. So continue to hunger and seek God's ways. This perspective will always allow you to be changed in the deepest part of your heart. And then number four, a servant heart. Having a servant heart. You know, a servant heart is an absolute necessity for the new wine of the Holy Spirit to come in to you. Because you can't, if the new wine of the Spirit is in you, it's going to come out in service of something. God doesn't just to fill you to overflowing, to not spill you out and to use you. You're made to be, he wants to pour in for you to pour out, right? Otherwise, if you're just receive, never give, you're going to stagnate. And that wine is going to be rotten, right? Not good. It won't be flowing. The next thing is Christ versus comfort zone. You have to sometimes get out of your individual comfort zone into the things of this Holy Spirit. And that new wine skin is a new time for intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes you're uncomfortable when something is new, or you haven't been this way, or you haven't experienced something before. Honestly, you know, when God was pouring out his glory and things like that, that was new. I remember one day at the Fire and Glory, I was testifying, and I had the microphone in my hand. My hand felt like it was sweating. And when I looked down in my hand, it wasn't sweat. It was covered with oil. I touched my iPad. I left oil fingerprints all over it. But that was a new thing. God was just doing a new thing. You know, amazing. So when you have a restored wineskin, then you have the capability and capacity to receive all that God is pouring out. You know, the one thing about Jesus Christ that was said about him is he had the Spirit without measure. That means Jesus' capacity for the Holy Spirit was endless. And you can grow in your capacity to receive the things of God, to be filled with the Spirit of God, to be a vessel for the Lord, as you just allow God just to work in the wineskin that you carry. Now, what are some of the steps then for that to happen? Well, the first one is the wash and cleansing of the word. Just like that wineskin had to be put in water and cleansed, so do we, spiritually speaking. Even in Psalm 51, verse 2 and 3, it says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit. When you have that attitude towards God, just wash me, just use me, he will do it. And then number two, allow the Holy Spirit to anoint you with fresh oil. I love this in Psalm 92, 10. It says, but my horn, you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. Don't be stagnant. Don't let the touch of God last year, last week, be the last thing. Always be seeking God for a fresh filling of his Holy Spirit, for the fresh oil. You know, it talks about even in the parables of the virgins, some had oil in their lamps and some ran out. Don't let your lamp be out of oil. Fill up with fresh oil. And the source is God. The source is the Holy Spirit. He's the one. And then the third thing is confess and repent of any sin. Amen? Amen. This feels so good to say today. I don't know why, but I think sometimes we don't talk enough about sin. But you know what? God wants us. God sees it. He died to forgive us from our sins. Don't hide and don't stay in sin. Confess and repent of it. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other. Pray for one another that you might be healed. The righteous prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. You know what? Sometimes God wants you to humble yourself and actually confess your sin to another person, have them pray for you. Why? Because it says he gives grace to the humble. You know, when you just say, God, I'm sorry, I sinned, I fell short, I'm weak in this area, even if you share with someone else, God will give you the grace and empowerment to overcome that sin. And sometimes I think, sometimes the devil just likes to keep us in darkness. But God wants to out you into the light and bring it out. And it's a good thing, you know? It's good. Psalm 139:23 says this, search me, O God, and know my heart and know any of my anxieties. You know, some things are not just outward, blatant sins. Some are inward attitudes. It's not all the outward sins. It's the inward attitudes of the heart. God looks at our heart and our motives. And when he's working on you, he does a deep work all the way to the motive level. You know what I'm saying? So God, ask him to search you and search the deep things. You know, you want to be a wineskin that has a fresh relationship with Christ, not an old one. The next thing is number four, return to the simplicity of your first love in Christ. Honestly, if I had to put this back in a different order, I would put that as number one. First things first. Seek first the kingdom of God. First, come back to your first love. You know what? You can be doing all the religious activity you want and doing a lot of good things and good deeds, and a lot of people do. But if you lose your first love, it's in vain. Even the church in Ephesus, they were doing a lot of good things, a lot of things right. But Jesus said this in Revelations 2, 4, and 5. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You've left your first love. Remember there from which you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first, or else I will come quickly, remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. There's a place to repent. There's a place where you say, God, I'm sorry, my heart is hard. I really don't care about you or the things of God. I'm sorry. You know when you're kind of getting crusty in your heart, or when you feel a little backslidden, or when you just don't love God like you did at first. And God wants to reignite your heart. You know, I remember even at the beginning of the outpouring, I just remembered seeing a picture of Christ. And what I saw was his heart was extremely engulfed in fire. And God wants to see your heart engulfed with fire for him. A fiery love of God. And the Bible says, those who I love, you know, I chastise. And it says, be zealous and repent. So repent to back to your first love. And believe me, God will restore it. And an even greater measure than you had before. It's so awesome. Next, develop that and cultivate a servant attitude. You know what? We never get beyond Jesus' example. He was the greatest example. Is that right? Yes. Well, in Philippians 2, 5 through 7 says, you must have the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling on to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave or a bondservant. Christ never felt he was too good to serve. He served all the way to the cross, and from the cross, he kept serving. And he's still serving. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's still our mediator, speaking a better promise by the blood, still speaks. Christ has never stopped serving and loving you. And if you want to develop a mature attitude, be a wineskin that the Holy Spirit can fill, you need to develop the same attitude that was in Christ, right? You will not mature to full maturity if you don't have that type of servant type attitude. It's not a low thing. It's a very high thing, because you know what? The kingdom of God is upside down. Those who are greatest in the kingdom are servants of all. That's how God made it. And then the last thing is crucify the comfort zone. God wants to mess up your schedule. How many of you, is it okay if God messes up your schedule? Raise your hand. Oh, do you really mean that? I think he's going to test you a little bit on it. But that's okay. Because you know what? God's divine appointments are the best appointments. The best things that have ever happened probably in my life is when God had a divine appointment, a divine encounter that was not on my schedule, but it was absolutely written in his book, because he says he has good works for us to walk into, right? So he has things that he wants you to encounter, and you need to be listening to the Holy Spirit and allow him to interrupt your schedule. He has to have, the Holy Spirit needs access to your watches and to your calendars. Can I tell you something? Revival is not convenient. I doubt it was convenient for the 120 to stay in the upper room for 7 days straight and pray. I bet, well, 500, I think, started. It ended up with 120, so somebody missed out on that one big time. But you know what? They had to set aside their calendars, their schedule, and said, God, we're going to seek you in this place until you pour out what you have promised. And they didn't even know what to expect. Talk about a new thing. When God poured out his spirit the first time, it was a new thing. Nobody knew what to expect. But yet they waited upon him. They said, God, my time is not more valuable than your presence. Right? And I'm encouraging you at this time, and the last thing I'm going to say yes to God in abandonment. Abandonment. Your heart abandons, just a big yes, God. And watch what he does. You know what? God is pouring out his Spirit in this time. We're going to be hosting the presence of the Holy Spirit. We already do Sunday morning, but in the evenings for these Fire and Glory Revival Outpouring meetings, I'm encouraging you, make time for God. Make time for the Holy Spirit. And if you say, you know what, I don't really care, it's not important to me, then I ask, check your heart. Maybe your wineskin has gotten a little old, a little crusty. Maybe you need a little renewal. Let the oil be applied to your heart. Let him just recondition. Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you've had bad things happen or even hurt in church or whatever. Let the oil of the Holy Spirit just massage the hardness of the heart and remove the calluses, right? God wants to give you that heart that's flexible, that's big, that's yes to him. Right now, can you just bow your heads for a moment? Let's just pray. And by a show of hands, would you show me, who wants to say yes to God to become a new wineskin? Just raise your hand and say, God, I want to be a new wineskin. I want to, or I want to. Maybe I don't even yet, but I want to. Okay. Father, I just pray, God, as you're doing a new thing in this hour, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you just do a work deep, deep in our heart, Holy Spirit. Make us the new wineskin that has the capacity to carry your presence, to carry your Spirit. We thank you for this time and season we're living in, that it's a new season, it's a new day, it's a day of outpouring, God. And we welcome you, Holy Spirit. We say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. You are welcome. You are welcome. You're welcome in the region. You're welcome in the region of my heart. Anoint me with fresh oil, God. Wash me. Wash me by the water of your word and cleanse me deep, deep, Father God, all the way to the very core of my being. Father, I want to love you with a first love. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Could everyone stand for a moment? I just want to see if there's anyone here today. As I was speaking here this morning, I was really speaking to the family, and I just want to see if there's anyone here that says, you know what, that's awesome what you're sharing about, but I don't know Jesus personally. I don't even know what you're talking about this morning. You know, but I want to know him. I want to have a relationship with you, with Christ. If that's you this morning, could you raise your hand? Could you raise your hand and say, I want to make a commitment of my heart to Christ? Is there anyone this morning that wants to make a commitment to Christ? Okay. You know what? At this time, I'm going to pray in just a moment, but I just remembered a very urgent prayer request. I should have prayed at the beginning. But one of a very precious saint here, her name is LaVon, and she's been a prayer warrior intercessor for years here. She's so precious. She's in the hospital. She's in very critical condition, both her kidneys and her livers shutting down, and so she's at a really critical point. And the family is going to be talking about that tomorrow. Let's pray for her and pray for a miracle in LaVon's body. And God already raised her once off her deathbed before 14 years ago. Pastor Daniel prayed and God raised her up and she's a walking miracle. But let's pray again and then we'll pray and we'll have the altar team up here for more ministry. So Father, I thank you for Miss LaVon. We just pray. We bless her. We send your healing angels to the hospital room, God. God, we pray for a new liver, God. We pray, God, you would touch her kidneys, God. We pray for her breathing. Father, we pray that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead will quicken her mortal body. touch her, Jesus. We send our prayers. We send our love. God, we send your healing hand. We send your healing virtue into that hospital room, Father God. We just pray for your grace, grace over that place, Father. Thank you. Touch Miss LaVon. We bless her in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let me pray and just bless you as you go. Father, I thank you for this amazing family called Summit, God. I thank you for each one. I love each one. I bless their lives. I thank you for what you're doing in them and through them, God. God, pour out your spirit in a fresh way in their lives, God. Let them see your hand of favor like never before. Let them experience your glory, Father God. I just pray you would even visit them in the night season. Give them dreams and visions. God, show them things in the future, Father God, things that you have for them. Holy Spirit, just speak the secrets in the secret counsel of God to them, I pray. I thank you for bringing them into the fullness of who they are in Christ, in their calling. I just bless them today. I bless their week. I bless their families. I thank you for each one. And I ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you.